It's perfect to finish the Amidah, to finish this part of the davening, and to make our way into some words of Torah through the word Shalom. V'yaseim lecha Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, which means peace. Shalom, which means fullness. Shalom, which means integration. Shalom, which means completion. Jerusalem, the city of completion. On a weekend where this coming Sunday, many of us will be walking for the sake of Shalom, the sake of peace, in a walk that was originally intended to go around Central Park, but now we'll walk on the sidewalk. And it's particularly relevant because the word Shalom appears most frequently in the context of Sukkot. Almost everywhere that you find the word Sukkah, you find the word Shalom appearing immediately thereof. Sukkat Shalom, a Sukkah of peace, a Sukkah of completion, of wholeness. Another word that is often associated, it appears a couple of times, not frequently, but in the way I grew up, this word almost always came together with Shalom, and that was Bayit. Shalom Bayit meant peace in the home. It meant a home that was free of conflict. It was a domestic life that was smooth. It was almost often, or let me say it's always, invoked by my father when he wanted us to agree with my mother, or vice versa. No, Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit. Those two words, peace and sukkah, and Bayit, are very powerful images for us on the holiday of Sukkot. Of course, Sukkah is a kind of bayit, a kind of home. And of course, as I said, it's almost always associated with peace. I heard a story this week about a child who, a friend of mine called him and said, my kid was injured. And we took them to the emergency room. And the entire time, what really struck her, he was in pain, okay, it wasn't so bad, he took Tylenol. The sight of, everything was difficult. But the worst moment for her, she said, was he kept saying, Ima, Mommy, I just want to go home. Mommy, I just want to go home. When I was much younger, my parents invited, it was during my yeshiva days, I was at Chaim Berlin, and I wasn't going to be home for this Shabbat of Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeret, the end of the holiday. My parents invited, they knew of a person who was coming to my neighborhood, the Great Neck, and he needed a place to stay, and my parents, being hospitable people, said, sure, you can stay with us. He had a bris, I think he had to perform a bris milah. He had to perform a circumcision. So my parents provided him with a place to stay. And so he stayed throughout the end of the holiday. And at the end, being nice, upstanding, modern Orthodox Jews, my parents were a bit taken aback at the end of the holiday when our guest, upon leaving the sukkah for the last time, proceeded to elaborately, beautifully, and poignantly kiss the structure. My mother came out, and I think she was a bit startled. She was bringing some rugelach or something into the sukkah. And she found this guest walking around the periphery of the sukkah, kissing the walls of the sukkah. She said, what are you doing? He said, it's my custom. When we leave the sukkah for the last time, I give it a kiss. So my mother asked me if I'd seen that before. I said, no. It was a bit unusual. But in some ways, the power of Sukkot, the power of this holiday, begs for a kind of new understanding, at least for me. I've been tossing through my head all the different reasons that are given why Sukkot follows Yom Kippur, what's the nature of Sukkot, how does it connect back to Yom Kippur. I'll throw out a couple of them for you. And some of them we've already done here in the shul. Sukkah suggests impermanence. We discussed this. It reminds us that all is passing and fleeting, but that notion of impermanence need not depress us, but rather it could fill us with joy knowing that things pass. We discussed that. That's one. And we need to remember that because Yom Kippur reminds us of impermanence, but then Sukkot says, yes, impermanence, but great impermanence. The second idea was Sukkah as holding the paradox of potency and impotency. We talked about that last Friday night. That Sukkot, in bringing together these symbols of creativity and the creative act, remind us that we are partners in creation, but we can't do it alone. We have impotency and potency in our entire lives. There are things that we can do and things that we can't. We have humility and we have a sense of grandeur that we can participate with God. We are shutfin, we are shutafim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are partners with the Holy One. The third one was that Sukkah is an integrative model. It brings the abstractions of Yom Kippur down to earth, literally. All of these really beautiful ideas, we're so holy, we're flying, we're wearing white, we're angels, but then Sukkot says, get your fingernails dirty, get in there, bring it to earth, bring it down. Below three tvachim, connected to the earth. And lastly, a Sukkah is a structure, as the Zohar calls it, Atzila Dimnehamnusa, it is a tzel, it is a structure that represents faith. It is a faith hut. It is, in its very definition, an expression of the need for faith to surround us above, below, to be in permeating our entire lives with a sense of emunah, a sense of being held by life. Four beautiful ideas. And yet, I kept thinking about the moment when I moved out of my apartment this year. It was August, my wife and I moved out, and I stood there with my sons and my wife, and I looked around at this place that we had lived in, and I kept thinking to myself, what is left in this apartment? Everything was gone, all the furniture. And as I stood there at the door, and my son was doing that ritual that I had begun with, he was naturally kissing all the walls goodbye. I could see, as if a hologram, I could see, oh, there's where he walked for the first time. Oh, and there's that memory, and there's Shabbat, and there's our board, and there's all of these different things, and none of it was there. And of course, in my mind, I kept wondering who would be the next people. Would they be walking on those spaces where my son had taken his first step, or we had brought them both home for the first time? I wondered if space has memory. And my friend, a dear friend of mine, sent me an article today. And here's, as I was thinking about this. There is a thinker named William Tiller. He's a scientist who published a work called Conscious Acts of Creation. Here's what he writes. He writes, Conscious Acts of Creation, it's essentially a compendium of experiments that this Tiller conducted with results that strongly suggests that human consciousness impacts the material reality in the way that it behaves. In a classic experiment, Tiller and three other participants sat around a table and focused a specific intention on a specially designed electrical device created for the purpose of the study. They called this device an IIED, an intention-imprinted electrical device. The intention they focused on the device was to raise the pH of water by a unit of one, which is a significant change. Each person spoke their intention and the group focused meditatively on the IIED for 15 minutes. And then a second intention was spoken out loud to seal the first one. They placed the IIED in a room besides the water solution and tracked the pH. The results were outstanding. The pH of the water gradually went up by a unit of one just as the meditators had intended. And they repeated the same experiment, only this time they set the opposite intention to lower the pH of the water solution by a unit of one. They were equally successful in that endeavor. In both experiments, they placed some water at another location far away from the IIED and tracked that solution, and in both instances, the control did not change pH. As impressionable as these results were, the best was yet to come. Tiller placed water in the same room that had contained the IIED after the device had been removed and recorded the same results. And even a year later, are you getting all this? Even a year later, The pH of the water solution was still being influenced by that space. That space where they had meditated on the pH level and tried to raise it by a unit of one, even when they took out the water, it retained the intention that was generated in that space. And here's the killer. Here's what Tiller writes. The fabric of space is malleable to intention. Something about space remembers. That's what he writes. Something about space remembers. Ask anyone who's ever had a meditation or yoga practice, if you sit in the same place over time, it feels different. Now, some would argue with these contentions. Fine, it's okay. I'm not quick to support any notion that intention changes everything in reality. I'm not a big The Secret guy. But I just couldn't help but think that after Yom Kippur, we are sent from our homes. And it isn't as positive as all of those spins look. It isn't to say, oh, it's impermanent. Oh, your home is not your real home. Those are beautiful interpretations. But here's a different one. This interpretation says we leave our homes so that we can refocus our intentions when we are back in them. That the sukkah extends a sense of homelessness that is engendered by Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in order to give us a sense that when we are back in our homes, how are we creating memories in that home? We go into a sukkah, the only mitzvah in the Torah that tells us specifically to make it beautiful, right? There are a lot of mitzvot, but only by Sukkot, make it beautiful, put all kinds of gorgeous na'eh, hidur mitzvah. And the Torah says, now for 7 days, focus your intentionality in this space. Don't make it into a permanent home. Do all of your religious acts in the year, make your blessings, bring all of these fruits together, bring your friends together, sing songs. This is called Sukkot Shalom. This is a home. And when the tension is so thick, 7 days you've been away from your home, even if it's only outside in your courtyard, and everything in you is screaming, enough, I just want to go home already. Enough, I just want to go home already. I really want to do tshuva. I really want to go home. The Torah says, don't forget that space remembers. How will you imprint your space when you walk back in it? How will you create the memories in that space that will not only support you in the future, but continue to raise your level day in and day out? What kind of rooms will you create? What will you fill those rooms with? The Torah is, in a very strong, I think a very poignant way, saying, as the Berditchev Rebbe said, where your thoughts are, there you are. Where your thoughts are, there you are. And where your thoughts go, that's what home you'll have. Will your home be a shalom home? Will you seed it with seeds of peace and compassion? Will you seed it with Torah and wisdom and meditation? Will it be more than just accessory Judaism where you come in once in a while and bring a little bit of Judaism to pepper up your home? Here's a little Jew here, a little Jew thing there. Will your home be a home that is a mikdash me'at, a small sanctuary? We can't wait for Yom Kippur to come next year. Every single day, we are either creating an impression in the home that will raise our level or reduce it. I wanted to close with a poem from Mary Oliver. The title is Coming Home. When we're driving in the dark on the long road to Provincetown, which lies empty for miles when we're weary, when the buildings and the scrub pines lose their familiar look. I imagine us rising from the speeding car. I imagine us seeing everything from another place. The top of one of the pale dunes or the deep and nameless fields of the sea. And what we see is the world that cannot cherish us, but which we cherish. And what we see is our life moving like that, along the dark edges of everything. The headlights like lanterns sweeping the blackness, believing in 1,000 fragile and unprovable things, looking out for sorrow, slowing down for happiness, making all the right turns, right down to the thumping barriers to the sea, the swirling waves, the narrow streets, the houses, the past, the future, the doorway that belongs to you and me. I bless you that as Sukkot comes to a close, that we have that perspective on our homes, that having stepped out of them, we can see them for what they are and bless them with our intentionality and our pledge to build a shalom bayit, a sukkah of peace, a sukkah of wholeness. And may all of our thoughts and prayers for peace and wholeness in the world, may we recognize that they make a difference and keep them coming. Amen.